Welcome to the Vintage Church Podcast. Vintage Church is a movement of truth, love, and community. For more information, visit VintageChurchNola.com. Here is this week's message.
Well, good morning, Vintage Church. Let's open up our Bibles together to the book of Colossians. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 4 as we continue our series called Status. We're going to ask ourselves this question today as we open up our Bibles. Where do you stand with your friends? If you don't have a Bible, lift up your hand. We'd love to get you a copy of the Word of God. If you don't own one, please take this home as a gift from our church to you. We believe there's absolutely nothing in this world that's greater than to open up your Bible, read it, and apply it in your life. My name is Rob Wilton, and it is so great to be back. I serve as your founding pastor and then new pastor of a church that we're going to plant together, Vintage Church Pittsburgh, over the next year. And so it's such a great honor. Thank you so much for putting some crawfish together as I return back home. Everywhere else in the country, they're in denial. There ain't no place like this place when it comes to food. And y'all need to start praying for me right now, because New Orleans is technically no longer like my home. Like, it's not where I live anymore. And I have an alter ego. His name is Travel Rob. And honestly, the month of May, Travel Rob is going to pay. He's got to repent. I've been eating way too much, been traveling way too much. But it ain't May. So I fully plan on eating a lot today. Y'all with me? Y'all going to join me? I'm just telling you, you better get ahead of me in the line, because there's not going to be any left. And so what we're doing today is we're talking about friends. Pastor John McCann opened up this series talking about ourselves. The last 2 weeks, Pastor Dustin, your lead pastor, preached on marriage and on kids. And listen, I'll just be honest with you, in just being back here, can we thank the Lord for your lead pastor, Pastor Dustin Turner? Wow. And I'm so thankful for his leadership and friendship as we're about to talk about this. His sermon on marriage, if you missed it, I want you to go back and watch that. It ministered to me and my wife so much, encouraged us. It was so powerful. One of the best sermons I've ever heard him preach. And so make sure you check that out. But today we're going to talk about friendship. Now, some of y'all might be thinking about some songs. Friends are friends forever. If the Lord's a lot of them. You got to be kind of nasal when you sing like Michael W. Smith, right? Or maybe y'all going to go old school, little TLC in the house. What about your friends? Oh, they gotta, you know what I'm saying? Anybody know? Or maybe you're just going to go straight to the sitcom, right? I'll be there for you. I don't know who sang that, but that's just stuck in my head because my wife is obsessed with Friends. And especially post-Katrina, cable didn't work, so we just watched Friends reruns over and over and over and over. So we think about friendship. One pastor that I read this past week that talked about the passage that we're about to look at, talked about how this scripture that we're going to look at today is like Paul gives us a group picture, gives us a picture of like his squad, right? His homies. And when I thought about that, I was like, you know, in preparing to preach today, this past Saint season was so much fun, man. The guys did incredible, and it was a very cool thing to just be a part of the ride, even though it ended terribly and, you know, all that. But we had some moments, and one of my favorite things throughout the season was especially when, like, our defense would, you know, create a turnover or whatever, and then they would run to, like, one end zone and all pause for, like, a snapshot picture, and they're doing a whole bunch of things. Check out this picture. It's one of my favorite. Look at that. I love it, man. They've got a turnover, and, man, we're just celebrating. One of my other favorite pictures, check out this next one, was when they would kind of get around the ball and spin it like it's, you know, a fireplace or something like that, and kind of warm themselves up. Look at Craig Robertson. He's just in the moment. Like, I love it. And even Coach Peyton and Drew Brees got in the action after we whooped those Panthers a third straight time. Man, we love that. Look, so when I think about, like, these pictures of friendship, and fun and all that, you know that the Apostle Paul gives us a picture of his group, of his squad. And we find it in Colossians chapter 4. Turn there. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 through 18. And so we're going to look at this picture of the Apostle Paul's friends. And I think it's going to challenge us. Listen, we're asking this question, what is your friendship status? Some in the house are saying, I'd like to go away from friendship status. We'd like to go to another status. That's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about friendship status. And when we talk about friendship status, we're going to look at the end of the book of Colossians. Pastor Paul takes a group picture, and he tells us about his group. And I think it's going to be so encouraging to us. I'll be honest, as I've studied this, I can't wait. I hate that I have to preach this in one setting. I'm probably up in Pittsburgh, and maybe we'll do a series together, maybe next spring as we launch this church or whatever. But I could take this one scripture that we're going to look at today and do a six-week series on this, looking at the different people that were around the Apostle Paul. Friendship is important. And friendship's talked about a lot in Scripture, and we're going to learn a lot as we look at these examples together. So, in order to understand the context of what's going on, Paul wrote Colossians during his first imprisonment in Rome, and he also, during this time, wrote Ephesians and Philemon during this time. So, that's going to make sense here in just a minute as we talk about what's going on with all of these friends. Let's look at the scripture together. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 through 18. Tychicus, say that 20 times. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is my beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, some of you are getting names for your future kids. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, okay, it's a hard word to say. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, not Jesus Christ, Jesus who is called Justus also. These are the only men of circumcision, my Jewish brothers, among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. And they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, I love Pastor Paffy. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Now verse 15. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, this young intern in the church of Colossae, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. The word of the Lord. As my family and I have taken this leap of faith to Pittsburgh, can I tell you that the Lord has provided friendship? And I'm so thankful for not only you are my home church, you'll always be my home church, and the friendship, the cards, the phone calls, the encouragement as we've taken this leap of faith. We're living in Nashville until kind of mid-June, and then we're going to spend the summer just kind of taking a deep breath, and then we move to Pittsburgh this fall to begin building this amazing church that God's called us to plant. And so as we've taken this leap, I'm so thankful for the friendships that I have here. I'm thankful for my sending church right now in Nashville, Tennessee, Long Hollow. And Long Hollow has been such an encouragement to me and Annabeth and our four kids. And they've been so generous to us. They've been generous to you as well. And this Replicate leadership training that we had this weekend is from Long Hollow. And so we're excited about that friendship. Can I tell you something that we can thank the Lord for? Do you know that as y'all have seen, I've been traveling a little bit. The Lord has brought 13 other churches to partner with us in planting a church in Pittsburgh, and I'm so thankful for it. I've been busy preaching at these churches, and I'll be at another one this next Sunday, and so I'm so thankful for that. But can I even tell you, it gets better. God just keeps building friendship around this amazing work to Pittsburgh. Right now, we have over 30 people who've committed to be a part of our launch team in starting this church in Pittsburgh. And so God is providing. Can we thank God for all this? This is an amazing thing. And guys, as I get to worship with you and just be here, I see it. I see it. My guy Kirk here, man, like I told him, man, I've been sharing as he encouraged me. He said, you know, after we had our ordination time and it was my last Sunday here, he basically said, Rob, you got to go. There's people in Pittsburgh that need this. You got to go. And so, man, as we've taken, it's been hard. But to see this today, I'm just believing in faith. This is about to happen in Pittsburgh. I'm so thankful for friendship. This text right now speaks about friendship. And what Paul does here is he gives us a picture of friendship. Let's go through the list of his crew. Number one, we find Tychicus. Tychicus I describe as a faithful brother. Tychicus is described, as Paul writes in verse 7, a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord. And Tychicus is the one that's bringing the letter to the church at Colossae. And so he brings a report on how things are going with Paul in prison, but he also brings encouragement to the church at Colossae. You first meet Tychicus in Acts chapter 20 when Paul is in Ephesus. And so what you find during this time is Paul is basically doing kind of what I'm doing right now. He's traveling around to different churches, taking up an offering for the church in Jerusalem. Tychicus is on this journey with him, and he's by his side. And as we know, as we read the book of Acts, did Paul go into every city and get worshiped as a celebrity signing Bibles everywhere he goes? No. Man, he met persecution and struggle and all this, and Tychicus stayed by his side. That's why we call him a faithful brother. One of the reasons why we can call him a faithful brother is because he didn't just give money. He gave his life. He abandoned his career, and he went all in. So thankful for people who've gone all in. Do you know that Tychicus is also responsible for carrying two other letters? The letter to the Ephesians, and also the letter to 2 Timothy. And so, I don't know about y'all, how many of y'all have ever been blessed by the book of Colossians? Anybody? Anybody been blessed by the book of Ephesians? Anybody been blessed by 2 Timothy? Thank you, Tychicus. Because of his faithfulness, he was sent to carry these important letters inspired by the Word of God. I'm so thankful for faithful brothers, faithful sisters, who not only have stood by my side, but who have also been focused on the mission. I know as we think about Tychicus, you've got some Tychicus in your life. And you've got people who have been faithful to you and faithful to the Lord. Number two, we see Onesimus. Onesimus I describe as a forgiven servant. Onesimus is a forgiven servant. Isn't it amazing to know that you can have a sinful past and yet God still uses you? Anybody thankful for that in the house? I know how much of a loser I am. Like our first 10 years here in this city, y'all do understand, I turned 37 like last week. I planted this church when I was 27. What were y'all thinking, those of you who were around, sticking around this guy? I mean, I had no idea what I was doing. And I'm so thankful that God forgives and that God gives us second chances, right? And in regards to Onesimus, why is he a forgiven servant? Well, Colossians was written to the church at Colossae. There's another book in the New Testament called Philemon. Philemon was written specifically to Onesimus. And so there's a purpose behind Philemon. Philemon was the master of Onesimus. So Onesimus was his slave. And during this time, Onesimus left Philemon. He rebelled. He left. So whether he was leaving to be free or whether he was leaving to go and indulge, I would submit to you that he was leaving to actually go sin and indulge, because you know where he went? Rome. And Rome was the place where you went to party, like New Orleans is. And so you went to Rome to indulge. Well, guess what happens? When Onesimus, leaving his master, which the penalty that for that was going to be death, goes to Rome, guess who he runs into? Paul. That's not who you want to run into. And so Paul ain't just enjoying a Mardi Gras parade. Paul is on a mission. And Paul leads Onesimus to Jesus. Guess who Paul also led to Jesus? Philemon. And so now this letter to Philemon, listen to the context. Paul is sending Onesimus, you can read it on your own, back to Philemon, and he's saying, this is not a slave. This is a forgiven servant of God. He is your brother. Can I just say this? I'm not going to get on a sidetrack here. The only answer against any injustice right now that is going on in the world is the gospel. The gospel reconciles. The gospel heals. The gospel creates in us a new creation where the old has passed and the new has come. Paul's description of Onesimus in this text is not Onesimus is a slave coming back. What does he say? Onesimus is our faithful and beloved brother who is, Philemon, one of you. One of you. Do you know that church history reveals something amazing? That Onesimus was embraced by Philemon. And he was loved by Philemon. And later on, Onesimus became the pastor of the church. Only God could take someone who was a runaway slave and raise them up to lead the church. That's the gospel. Praise God for the gospel. All right, I got to keep going. Aristarchus. Aristarchus, I describe here as a fellow worker. He's described by Paul in this letter to the church at Colossae as a fellow prisoner. Now, guys, in life and especially in ministry, the greatest friends are those, listen to me, who are just there. They're not there because of your talent or because of what you offer or because they get something. They're just there. Even when you screw up, they're there. During the really hard times, they're there. They're just there. This is who this is. Most likely, Aristarchus is from Thessalonica. And so at Ephesus, Paul ministers for 3 years. What happened in Ephesus? A riot. Guess who's there? Aristarchus. He's there. And then later on, Paul goes to Jerusalem, gets thrown in jail. Guess who's there? Aristarchus. And then he gets sent to Caesarea. And guess who's there? Aristarchus. And then he gets shipped to Rome in chains, which is where he's now writing this letter. And guess who's there? Aristarchus. The only thing Aristarchus is guilty of is hanging out with this wanted man named Paul. And guys, I don't want to get into too many names because I'll really get in trouble and we'll be here all day and you'll miss the crawfish. But if I can single out one person, I kind of think about Pastor Brick in this regard. The only thing Pastor Brick's ever been guilty of is hanging out with me. Y'all do know Pastor Britt got 2 misdemeanors for hanging out with me. And when we tried to expand this church property, we got in a little bit of trouble. And while I'm preaching, he got fingerprinted. He got 2 misdemeanors just for associating himself with me. Y'all need to pray for Sean Englert as he's coming to Pittsburgh. Y'all know a misdemeanor is a coming for Sean Englert. Y'all just know it. But you know when I knew Brick was special? It was actually not that moment. I knew he was going to be this fellow worker for me in my life. It was when Hurricane Gustav threatened New Orleans. It was right after Hurricane Katrina. We'd gone through it, and our church was only about 40 people. And so I had like this Braveheart moment. And I was like, I'm telling you, this is the moment. This is where we're going to, you know, step up to the plate and we're going to charge a hill and we've survived Katrina. This is when Vintage is going to go next level. We're going to send the women and children north.
and all the men, we're going to hunker down. Who's with me? No one raised their hand except Brick. Brick was in the middle of the room. He was like, I mean, dude's an Opie from Tennessee. He had never seen a hurricane in his life. And I was like, Aristarchus. Okay, so listen to me. I'm telling you an example from me. I guarantee you have someone like this. And how blessed have you been by this person who's just been there? The next person that we see here is Mark. Mark, I describe as a future influencer. Mark is the man of the second chance. Remember that Paul and Barnabas were serving together in Acts. And as they were serving together, times get a little bit difficult in Acts chapter 13. And in Acts chapter 13, John Mark sissies out. He goes home and he cries back to mama. He says, this is too much, too intense for me. That's in Acts chapter 13. Well, in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas are back in Jerusalem and they're called by God to go again. Well, Barnabas is John Mark or Mark's cousin. So family's probably hooking family up right here. And basically Barnabas says, let's bring John Mark. Paul's like, say what? We ain't bringing that sissy. He quit on us. And so this is where you see the split. Now, all of this, God uses these things, doesn't he? And God can turn all things for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. But in this passage, why is Mark in the group picture? I thought Paul said, see you later, Mark. I don't want anything to do with you. Do you know why? Because Mark has changed. In fact, Paul is found in multiple New Testament letters of commending Mark to other churches. He's changed. Now, there are some facts, as we read in Scripture, that John Mark probably met someone very strategic during this season where he was changed. You know who he met? Peter. If anyone knew about screwing up and being restored back, it was the loser named Peter. Remember how Peter denied Christ? But then how Christ restored Peter? And so probably Peter said, John Mark, come here. Let me show you how this is done. And spent some time with Peter. And Peter then sent John Mark back out to rejoin Paul. And John Mark did some amazing things. The reason why I've got him as a future influencer, if I can tell you this, there's only four who were given the privilege of writing one of the Gospels. This is Mark. I want to encourage you to go read from the Gospel of Mark, but read it from the standpoint and the context of a man who got a second chance. Watch how much he loves Jesus and is thankful for Jesus. At some level, I look around here and I see Vintage Church. You're a miracle of God. You're a miracle of God. There's no way, based upon what I did the last 10 years, this should be here. And I'm so thankful for even now a second chance. Y'all know I like building and expanding things. I don't like finishing anything. And so the Lord's given me another chance to plant another church. And I don't know, he might send me to multiple cities beyond this. I don't know, but I'm just walking one day at a time with the Lord as he's now calling us to this. And I can tell you, there's some things that as I reflect over the last 10 years, I'm going to cherish a little bit more in the next 10. And I guarantee that's true of your life. Mark was a future influencer. The next thing we see is Jesus Justus. Jesus Justus is described, as I like to share, a favored companion. Why is he a favored companion? Well, number one, just think about his name. No pressure. Jesus Justus. And so Jesus, a lot of pressure, even though back in the day there were a lot that had this name, Jesus or Joshua in the Hebrew. And so in order to distinguish from Jesus Christ, they would say Jesus who is called. But the who is called wasn't something that wasn't just given to you as a name. It was your reputation. The word justice or justice is righteousness. It's righteousness. So this was one who's called Jesus, who's known as righteous. Whoa. I call this person a favored companion because not only did he faithfully live up to his name, but he was a Jew. And this is what's so important about him being a Jew. Most Jews, of which Paul was one, rejected Paul. In this text, it says that there were only three Jews who stood by my side. This is one. And Jesus Justus was one who is faithful to God, but what he did, this favor in his name, in his privilege, in his blessing or whatever, this favor he said, I'm not going to keep just for myself, for my advancement. I'm going to use it, a favored companion, for the ministry of God alongside Paul. And it sacrificed probably a lot for him. He probably got kicked out of some family dinners. But he was a favored companion. I know that I, today, am a result of many people who've been blessed in life. And they didn't just hoard their blessing. They came alongside us and our ministry and our call of God. And they fully recognized that they were blessed to be a blessing. This is Jesus Justus. Well, the next guy is one of my favorites, Epaphras, Pastor Paffy. And Pastor Epaphras, I describe as a focused pastor. He's probably one of the greatest pastors that you can read about in the early church. He's the founder and pastor of the church in Colossae. And he came to Rome. This is crazy because remember, Paul's writing the letter to the church at Colossae. But when we go and read in the text, look at verse 12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. Epaphras is with Paul in jail. What a pastor that he would travel so far to be with Paul, to love on Paul, to be by his side. But get this, this is why he's a focused pastor. He's a focused pastor because what do we see here? He greets you and he's always struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Paul's basically saying, he came here to minister to me, but I just want you to know, while he's here and we're enjoying some beignets together and we're having some good time, he's constantly in prayer, struggling in prayer because of you. He loves you. He was one who was focused. Aren't you thankful for those, whether it's a pastor, a mentor, or someone, a coach, whatever, who have been focused? They've been ones who've called you, encouraged you, traveled to be with you, to stand by your side, to comfort you, to lead you. I love the story of Epaphras. Next, we see Luke. I describe Luke as a fulfilling friend. And I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for friends who don't just serve alongside me and serve me spiritually, but also serve me physically. They give of resources. They give of possessions. I know my life is a testimony of so many people coming alongside me to journey with me. I've given him the description of a fulfilling friend, and he's the only one that I've said friend. If I could put something, you might want to add in your notes. You could say a fulfilling best friend. I believe this was Paul's best friend. How do I know that? Because of the account that Luke gives as he writes Acts, and he also writes the Gospel of Luke. God ordained that this relationship would be really close. Luke was an educated man. He was a doctor. Paul was also an educated man. So you can just imagine, as maybe Paul was kind of licking his wounds after being beaten for proclaiming Jesus, Luke is there ministering to him and the conversations that they're having. But also, can you just imagine, aren't y'all really, really good friends with people who've kind of carried your burdens, who've reached out to hug you? There's been a physical healing of some sort. There's been a welcoming, oh, you're homeless, here's my home. Those are the real friends in life. Luke was that for Paul. And lastly, in this group picture, we see Demas. And Demas kind of ends with a sad note. I call Demas in this text a forsaken past. Demas was probably around Paul for at least 2 years, and he was around during some jail time. But eventually, Demas quit on Paul, and he fell in love more with the world than the mission. We read about it in 2 Timothy 4:9, where Paul says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed to Thessalonica." Guys, Jesus had his Judas. Paul had his Demas. You got yours. And when I think about this, I'm thankful that it's in Scripture. Too many of us are Facebook posting right now. Oh, life is just splendid. My 5-year-old just cured cancer. It's not real. That's a lie. I wish we would post on Facebook, "Life sucks." Because that's how we feel that day. And that would actually encourage a lot of people. We can't live up to this Facebook hype that we've created. Here, Paul gives us a real picture of someone who stabs him in the back. And at some level, I'm encouraged by this because I'm like, dang, if it happened to Paul, I don't need to feel so bad when it happens to me. Because wasn't Paul like perfect? You know, like, wouldn't he be the ultimate guy to follow? A lot of times I even say when I go to churches or whatever, I've said this to you over the last few years, y'all really don't want Paul pastoring this church. Dude was pretty hardcore. I feel like I got a little more grace than what he shows sometimes. But in regards to this, Demas leaves him. And when I think about it, listen, the easy way for most of us in this setting right now, this is what we do. Because you're already there in your mind. You've turned me off. You're thinking about your Demas. Right now, the easy thing is for like, can't believe that person that stabbed me in the back, that left me when things got hard, when everybody started saying rumors about me, even though they couldn't prove anything, they just abandoned me. We had people, when we started to build this thing and started getting misdemeanors, literally people abandoned ship. When it got built, they're back. And so I can think about that and I can dwell about those things and I can, you know, kind of figure out those things and start getting really self-righteous. But then you know what Demas does for me? It makes me recognize how much I've been a Demas to others. And that's when the gospel starts to work. And that's when I start to think about, man, am I really being a good friend? Man, I really bailed on that person. Man, I really didn't. That was a hard time, and I just abandoned ship. And guys, when we think about these things, this is the same thing with all of these. Jesus becomes the common denominator for everything. Not one of us in this room is worthy of being a friend. But we have one who is worthy. One who saves us. One who forgives us. One who empowers us. One who uses us, even despite us. Any of y'all thankful for Jesus, who's our ultimate friend? And so as I close today, I want to share with you just some reflective thoughts. I love how one pastor, he kind of wrapped up this thing and he goes, well, there's your picture. There's your group photo of the Pauline Evangelistic Association. Headquarters, jail. That's where they are. And so what can we learn from this? Well, let me share a couple things. I want to reflect on what true friendship is. All these different stories speak to me. They encourage me. Number one, it speaks to the fact that true friendship is supporting. True friendship is supporting. Are you there? Are you there? And if I can just share this with you, I'm talking about something that I'm so desperate in regards to the grace of Jesus with. I'm really not a good friend, especially when it comes to long distance. Now, in helping you understand who I am, I grew up in a house where, until I was 14, honestly, I was never still. I grew up in New Orleans, but we were always on the road because my dad was a revival preacher. And I had to learn how to make a friend in 2 days and then say goodbye to them forever. And so I've got some deep relationships, but at the core, there's some bad habits. And so I think about that, and I challenge myself. I don't just fall back to say, well, that's who I am. I just want all these superficial. No, I need to challenge myself because real friendship, as this text speaks to me, is supporting. They are there. They go out of their way. They encourage. They honor. I'm one of my prayers for Vintage Church New Orleans, if I can just tell you, being around some other churches, we're not really good at honoring and showing gratitude and thanking and edifying. We're not. We're weak sauce in that camp. And it's because some of us in this room have daddy issues or mama issues. We were never edified by our parents, so we don't know what to do with it. We feel like fake or fraud or whatever. May I submit to you that real friendship supports. You take a picture, Instagram, with your friend. I don't care what the world says. And you say, this person, legit, my friend. You honor pastors or leaders or your group leaders or whatever else. Real friendship is supporting. Number two, real friendship is sacrificing. Real friendship is sacrificing. Look, talk is talk. Or you walk. I'm praying for you, brother. Are you? It's sacrificing. That's what we see the picture here. People didn't just say, here's money for your offering. They said, can I go with you and hang out in Pittsburgh and see if I can help you any? Like, there's sacrifice. There's stepping out. There's being there. There's all these things. So we see that it's sacrificing. It's carrying one another's burdens. Number three, true friendship is strengthening. Strengthening. May I submit to you here? Listen to me. If that friend of yours in your life hasn't called you out, that ain't your friend. Any friend that is a so-called friend that has just gone with the flow of your life, especially when you've been a screw-up, ain't your friend. My best friends, can I just keep it real? We've had physical fights. Full-fledged punch in the nose. They're my best friends. Love them. It's because we're real and we get in it. Because why? We want to see through our friendship strengthening. As a dad, going back to last week with kids, like I don't really give a flip what the twins think about in regards to their bad behavior. Son, you ain't acting like that. You won't talk to mama like that. Why? I'm strengthening them. I'm not being a punk. I care for them. Well, as friends, we should care for one another. We should strengthen one another. And then lastly, satisfying. True friendship is satisfying. I really believe as Paul's like finishing this letter, like, man, he's smiling as he writes this last section. Can y'all picture it? Like, there's enjoyment with these people. It's so weird. I'm just telling you, but I haven't been here in New Orleans. The amount of times that I've choked up and literally like had tears of joy watching you from a distance, it's been ridiculous. I think it's McCall. She's making me a sissy. Like, I'm just crying so much right now. I got choked up worshiping just a few moments ago. Just choked up. It's like I couldn't lift my hands. I don't like this person. But it's because I'm really, as I look out and I see, there's so much satisfaction to biblical friendship. To brothers and sisters in Christ, isn't there? That's what true friendship is. And that's why we encourage you to be in groups and to be around brothers and sisters in Christ because it's so satisfying. Well, as we close, I want to share this with you, the purpose of friendship. Why do we have friends? I believe Paul gives us a pretty clear example of why we have friends. And it's found in verse 15 through 18. The first is that it's encouragement for each other. That's the purpose of friendship. Look in verse 15 and 16. It says, give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. What an amazing, hospitable, incredible woman of God. And in verse 16, and when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of Laodiceans and see that you also read the letter throughout Laodicea. What is Paul basically getting at? In the book of Colossians, we find some incredible encouragement. Go read it today. And you find inspiration and you find all this stuff. Paul says, don't hoard it, spread it. Go share with someone else the love of Christ. And so this encouragement, friendship, guys, is supposed to be about encouragement, about inspiring one another. I pray that any moment that I get with you, that you leave encouraged. Make that a goal. That anybody I interact with, I just pray they are encouraged. Number two, I want you to know that there's accountability for each other as a purpose. And so Paul shows that in verse 17. It says, and say to Archippus, who's Archippus? He's like the intern. He's being groomed for future ministry. And it says, and say to Archippus, see that you will fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Friendship is accountability for each other. And guys, I'm just going to tell you this. Right now, the city of New Orleans is blinding some of you. Stepping out of the city for a few months now, the city of New Orleans is blinding some of you because what is king in this city is laissez bon temps rouler. It's just let the good times roll. Fun, festival, hanging out. And may I submit to you, that's a web of lies from the pit of hell. Friendship is not just intended so that you can have a good time on a parade route. For those of you who went to every parade this Mardi Gras, how many people did you tell about Jesus? For friendship is about engaging in mission and accountability to be a fulfillment of the ministry that God has called us upward in Christ Jesus. Who are the friends in your life that spur you on? Iron sharpens iron. I said I wasn't going to yell. Number three. And please, those of you who don't know me, know that's because I love you. I'm really tired of seeing people only indulge in Mardi Gras. That is a missional opportunity. And that's the only reason it exists for you, Christian. That's it. There's no other reason except that. Number three, grace for each other. Grace for each other. And that's how Paul ends. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. He's probably dictated most of this through somebody, but now he's writing with his own hand, showing I'm in this. And oh, by the way, would you remember my chains? Pray for me as you're enjoying your nice crawfish today. I'm in chains. So pray for me. And then what does he say? Grace be with you. He actually begins his letter with grace. He ends his letter with grace. Because at the end of the day, our ability to be friends is not on us. It's on the grace of God. I need your grace. I pray you'd give it to me. You need my grace. I pray I'd give it to you. And at the core, if we together can be united around the grace of Jesus, that's when real biblical friendship thrives. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray that a movement of biblical friendship would spread throughout this church. God, that would, Lord, fulfill these purposes of encouragement to each other, accountability to each other, and grace to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.